I spent enough time sleeping in the woods to know a hobo nest when I see one. And that's what we got right here. And if you dig down in there, sometimes you can find a little cash of goodies that they're saving for themselves. Like a beer. Thanks, hobo.
Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. I am Mike. I'm joined, of course, by my co-host, Napier.
What's up?
Phone number to contact the show, 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. We have a very special show for you this evening. It is, in fact, Podcast Month.
Podcast Month!
I have mapped out future weeks of Podcast Month, I believe. Pretty excited about it. This week, we're joined by a very special guest. I've said special several times now.
Excellent.
We should just start over. I feel like I've said special too much.
Just bring in some guys.
Some guys?
Yeah.
You mean like announce people?
No, just say guys a lot.
Guys. We're joined by Matt from the Lotus Cast.
Yeah, I don't know if I would be considered very special. I've done the show too many times, and at this point I think maybe people just expect it.
Fair enough.
But it's podcast month, and you do a podcast. Listen to it Thursday nights live on strangelabel.com. Listen to
That's
back
right.
episodes on thelotuscast.com.
And I still feel bad about bad flicks. That made me sad.
Why? What are you talking about? Oh, Napier was going to be on bad flicks this week, and They stood him up.
Well, I'm not going to say that. I sent them my contact thing on Skype, but they didn't get back to me until like 15 minutes into their show, and I was like, okay, well, I'm going to bed. So,
so 15 minutes into their show, they hadn't talked to you yet, so you're like, I guess they're not going to.
That's what I thought, because yeah, I normally go to bed like when they do their show, so it's like, well, I'm going to bed if they're not, you know, if it's
now,
not happening.
About a month ago, we had Shannon from Not Safe for Water Coolers on the show.
That was a good listen.
And she told a story about a finger that was mailed to her mom. And she said on her show, just I think it was a week or two ago, hey, I have a conclusion to the finger story. Because it ended in mystery. And we didn't know where the finger came from or if it was even a finger. And apparently there was a resolution to the finger story that she kept from her co-hosts on her own show and said she wanted to give to us.
Excellent.
So the question that I have, I put up a poll. If you go to our website, WFODix.com, you'll find a section called the Weekly Poll. You go there. The poll this week is, do you even want to know the rest of the finger story? Or do you feel like we've dedicated enough time to it?
I would say it depends on if it gets worse. If it gets worse, I'm okay.
I am a man of the people, and I want to do what my listeners want. If my listeners want to hear the rest of the story, we're going to invite Shannon on the show to finish it.
But the first to vote.
What did you vote? Do you want to know the rest of the finger story?
I do want to know the rest of the finger story, but I also don't want to give her any more attention. So I voted no.
The thing that bothered me was like, why don't you just tell it on, I mean, you do a show every week. Tell it on your show. Don't save your A material for other shows. That just seems like a dick move.
I think you gave it better attention. You gave it the attention a story like that deserves.
I mean, Matt, is there stuff that you're keeping from the Lotus Cast to tell us?
No. No.
You give your A stuff to your own show. Why would you give your stuff to me? You have a story about a finger. I mean, you tell that on your own show.
I guess, Mike, if you ask me very nicely, and I mean, again, to say that we have A-grade material, that's pushing it. But I would, if you ask me very nicely, I might save it for you.
Matt, will you save all your good stuff for me, pretty please?
Sure. Done. Done.
Apparently, I don't watch The Ellen. She has a show every day. Don't watch it. But I hear that when you go on The Ellen, when you're a guest on The Ellen, she gives you her own underwear. She makes underwear, and she gives it to all of her guests. And everybody raves about the underwear that Ellen gives you.
That's kind of weird, right?
Yeah.
That is really strange.
Like, you're backstage, you get a bag that just says, hey, thanks for being on the show. And one of the things in the bag is this underwear that Ellen makes.
She makes it herself?
Yeah, like Heidi Klum was just on the show, and she came out, and she was wearing a skirt. She goes, oh, by the way, I put on your underwear. And, like, lifts up her skirt and shows everybody the underwear that Ellen gave her. And they're like boxer briefs or something. And so, and there's this long-standing tradition of guests loving Ellen's underwear. If we made signature underwear, Napier.
Yeah.
And, like, we had a guest on, and then we mailed them a pair of underwear. Do you think they would be appreciative of the underwear that we mailed them? Are because she's Ellen, people trust her underwear. I think if we sent out underwear, people would think it was weird.
I would be weirded out.
Matt, would you buy a pair of WFOD underwear?
I mean, you'd
get one for free, theoretically, because you're on the show tonight.
Yeah, because I'm a guest. That would depend. I mean, you know, I'm a man of larger carriage, so is the underwear going to be able to hold up to my needs?
Oh, because it needs like some sack room is what you're saying.
No. I'm fat and therefore.
Oh, you know, oh, I thought you were making a reference to your big hog.
No, I'm not.
You're saying that you're just a larger guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you're a fat guy and you have underwear, there's a lot of friction in areas that there shouldn't be friction. And a pair of underwear, man, like just a regular pair of boxers or boxer briefs or whatever, they don't last as long.
I can vouch for that.
I mean, yeah. We're a DIY show, Napier. We're doing all this ourselves. We don't have special promoters or anything behind us. We're doing all this ourselves. And I worry, we don't have any tchotchkes, do we? We have business cards. I guess if somebody wants a T-shirt, we could theoretically send them a T-shirt. But we don't have any stuff to sell them.
Would anybody buy it?
I don't think they would. But if they wanted stuff from us, what would they want? What's the thing to get?
Posters?
If we got into the selling shit business and became merchandise
peddlers.
Store. Peddlers. Yeah. You know, we're creating this product, but you can also buy products that in turn advertises our actual product that we give you for free, right?
Buttons.
Buttons?
Buttons.
Do people still wear buttons?
Yeah.
Matt, what is it that we can sell to these people?
I think you'd have to cater to your audience. So I would look at what would make Anchor's listening time a little bit easier for him.
Matt, our audience is weirdos.
Yeah.
We have really weird listeners. I got to tell you, I got an email from our friend Liquid Lozenge.
Yeah.
Liquid Lozenge is a weird guy.
Well, he's a real
fun.
Treat.
He's fun treat. Weird.
I mean, he's a great listener. I mean, he sends us most of the listener interaction we get. But he sent me an email with an audio file. And by the way, he was Warren Beatty. If you remember, we talked about how somebody sent me a clip of Warren Beatty saying, hey, you're listening to The Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks. That was him.
Yeah.
And he sends us this thing. I want to play you this thing. I don't know what this is. I don't know why he sent it to me. I don't know what we're going to do with it. But it's like a minute and a half, and it's some woman like threatening to kill somebody and then saying, wheelbarrow full of dicks. Listen to this and tell me what it is. What are you doing, Liquid? I don't know what it is you're doing.
I don't give a fuck who you are or where you live. You can count on me to be there, to bring your fucking life to a hellish end. I'll put you in so much fucking pain that it'll make Jesus being nailed to a cross in the desert look like a fucking back massage on a tropical island. I don't give a fuck how many reps you can do, how tough you are in real life, how well you can fight, or how many fucking guns you own to protect yourself.
No, what? It continues. I paused it. What does this have to do with us so far? Nothing.
What was the context of him sending you this?
It was an audio file, and he said, hey, I got this on Fiverr for you. That was the extent of it. Let me continue. See if you notice anything that has anything to do with us, Matt.
So like, he paid at least $5.
Like, why we would play this, what this right. has to do with anything, what is this?
Okay.
I'll fucking show up at your house when you aren't home. I'll turn all the lights on in your house, leave all the water running, open your fridge door and not close it, and turn your gas stove burners on and let them waste gas. You're going to start stressing the fuck out. Your blood pressure will triple, and you'll have a fucking heart attack. You'll go to the hospital for a heart operation, and the last thing you'll see when you're being put under in the operating room is me, hovering above you dressed like a doctor.
What does this have to do with us, Liquid? Why did you send me this? The thing is, Matt, he sends us stuff all the time. And right. I don't know what any of it is or why he sends it to us. He just makes me crazy.
Did it not end with, like, listen to Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks?
Matt, it's still got another 40-something seconds on it. But
okay.
We've never talked about Warren Beatty.
Yeah.
Why did he send me Warren Beatty?
Well, who doesn't like Warren Beatty? I mean, Dick Tracy's a fabulous film.
When you wake up after being operated on, you'll wonder what ticking time bomb is in your chest waiting to go off. You'll recover fully from your heart surgery. And when you walk out the front door of the hospital to go home, I'll run you over with my fucking car out of nowhere and kill you. I just want you to know how easily I could fucking destroy your pathetic excuse of a life.
Okay. Again, I ask, what does this have to do with us at all? Why am I playing this? Why are we talking about it? We have these weird people that somehow find us. What is this?
Chris Brake does those really good kind of random promos for Strange Label.
Yeah.
Like, if you want your Affliction shirts back, you got to come and get them.
That's Chris Brake is also a weird, weird guy.
But what I'm saying is maybe he was trying to go for maybe some of that randomness.
Chris Brake, when I asked him to do promos for Strange Label that I could cut out, sent me like a 90-minute audio file of him and John just saying things off No Fear t-shirts. And I listened to the whole 90 minutes and cut out what I could cut out to make the stations. I mean, like, he didn't send me some promos. He sent me a 90-minute file to go through.
Right.
I'm not done with whatever this crazy lady is talking about. Where did this woman come from? Who is this lady?
If he did this on Fiverr, I'm just so happy that, you know, I don't know if he wrote the script out or if it's one of those services where they just write stuff for you, but he did pay this lady $5
at least.
He paid
this lady $5 to make this.
Well, you got to play it if he paid money for it, right?
But
you have to.
I'd rather go to a great fucking length to make sure your last remaining days are spent in a living, breathing fucking hell.
That's the other thing I want to know. Is this like a pre-written script that he wrote, or is this the one she sends to everybody?
I don't know.
It's too late to save yourself, but don't bother committing suicide either. I'll fucking resuscitate you and kill you again myself, you bitch-faced maggot. Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks.
And that's it. So am I supposed to play that as an intro? What am I? But like, what would be the context for playing that? I mean, that isn't a representation of, like, our show. It's not like it doesn't even make sense. Somebody would listen to that for a minute and a half, and they would say, what does that mean? Why did he play that?
I like it. I think you just play that now in place of all your other promos.
That'll just
play
be what I play.
Get rid of Keith David, replace her with that bitch, and you're fine. On loop. All the
I
time,
don't
play songs anymore
you
when you
are,
go to break. Just loop
where
that,
you
just loop her over and over
you
again.
You can count on me to be there, to bring your fucking life to a hellish end.
She sounds... I don't believe her. I think she's faking it.
You don't think she means what she's saying?
No. No.
Yeah, she does sound a little disingenuous.
I feel like if you're getting paid $5 to act that out, you could do a little bit stronger job.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is only
Napier threatened to kill somebody. Let's do an advertisement for... Maybe that can be our tchotchkes. If you give Napier $5, he'll threaten to kill someone via audio file for you.
But only fictional characters. I'm going to put a hatchet in your skull, Batman.
You don't want to say any real names because you don't want people to use it.
Yeah. The penguin?
Dave!
I don't know. She doesn't seem into it. Maybe $10. That makes her into what she's
saying. That's a Fiverr add-on. Hey, guys, if you want to buy us stuff on Fiverr to play on the show, I'll play it. I mean, we've just seen that. I'll play whatever you send me. We don't really get all that much interaction, to be honest with you. You send us a voicemail, we'll respond to it. There's not a lot going on here. Not going to lie. So
that is good to know.
Yeah. You know, a WFOD show on Skype, if you want to send us a voicemail, 636-487-HAND, or WFOD show on gmail@gmail.com. Send us whatever you want. Do you think that lady reading threats is any worse than anything that we're going to say?
Well, I mean, at least it's not weird.
It is weird.
Wait, what's not weird?
I mean, somebody threatened to kill you, that's not like
it's
out of the realm of possibility.
Very, very weird.
Okay, it could be way weirder.
And we have these weird people that listen to us, and I don't know where they came from, and I don't know why they listen. It's weird, Matt. You're in like a constant battle with you. You hate your listeners.
Yeah, I'm turning on our audience.
You did an audio show, live show a couple weeks ago that you did a lip sync battle on.
How does that work on a radio show?
It went over great. Napier.
It doesn't work at all.
No, it worked. It worked great. Everybody loved it.
His reasoning was that he hates his listeners, and they hated it, and so he did his job.
Mike, I think. Like, you know, we're all friends. We like to bust balls, so they were just friendly busting our balls. They really enjoyed the bit.
Okay, listeners, I have a number behind my back. Guess the number. Do you have a number in mind?
Yeah.
You gotcha.
Did I get it?
Is this your number?
I think it is.
Oh,
I was so close. It wasn't. Damn it.
Guys, we have a lot to get to.
We do?
There's things going on. We're gonna play the new installment in the Detective Napier franchise. Ooh. When we come back, we will be joined, hopefully, by Jeremy Gardner and Christian Stella from the movie The Battery, now crowdfunding their new project, Tex Montana Will Survive. We're all very excited about that, as you can imagine. Stick with us. We will return. Napier, do you have something that you want to tell the people?
This is Strange Label.
It had been a fairly shitty morning. Here I was, about to be launched into space against my will by a powdery maniac with nothing but a Kmart bag full of Wendy's spicy chicken nuggets and my wits. That's when it hit me. Oh, I get it. It's 'cause I'm fat.
This man is invincible.
trail of nuggets started from my bathroom and led outside. I found a bag that I began collecting them in for evidence. Although I found it unusual, investigating the unusual is what I do. Every few feet, another delicious breaded glob of formed chicken paste was laid out for me on the pavement. 10-second rule need not apply when dealing with this anomaly of nature. The journey lasted for what seemed like hours. I had filled my Kmart shopping bag and begun storing extras in my belly. My investigation led me to a restricted area. I was surrounded by orange and yellow signs, warning me of the danger. But my quest for the truth behind the nugget trail kept me ever vigilant. I ignored the signs, the physically posted and the figurative ones that I should have been more cautious of. It was clear from the get-go this was leading me to somewhere, and I followed it to the letter, straight into a trap. Light slowly filled the space I was occupying. The buzzing of fluorescence, kicking in, echoed throughout what appeared to be some sort of spacecraft. Beeps and rattling hard drives added to the sound as more and more electronic elements began to come alive. Screens lit up with various logos containing acronyms I didn't know. I tugged at the door, but expectedly found it to be locked. When I turned from the entrance, the screens were all trained on one thing. Staring back at me were 50 powdery guys, grinning at me in unison. My greatest foe lured me into a rocket ship with windy, spicy chicken nuggets, and now I would be forced to look at his disgusting, chalky face.
Hello, Detective Napier. As by now I'm sure you've deduced, I am the one who led you here.
How much did those nuggets set you back? I've been picking them up for hours.
Not as much as you may think. A four-piece is only 99 cents. It was time-consuming more than anything, but the ends certainly justify the means.
What do you intend to do with me?
Oh, I think it's pretty obvious. You're taking a one-way trip to outer space. Just you and the stars. Forever floating in an endless void. Away from drive-thrus. Away from being able to meddle in my sinister plans.
You'll never get away with this, powdery guy.
I will admit, no longer being able to see the sun will be an adjustment. But no longer seeing you is a reasonable compromise.
You're destroying the sun? You maniac!
No, I was making a joke. You're blocking the sun with your giant... No matter. I win. You lose. Goodbye, Detective Napier! It was so easy. You're so stupid.
Introducing 99 cent spicy chicken nuggets. All white meat, seasoned with peppers and savory spices. But the real kick? You get 5 pieces for only 99 cents. Only at Wendy's.
Okay,
Can Detective Napier survive in outer space? And will he encounter intelligent life? Find out next time on Detective Napier Crime Stories.
WFOD!
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. My woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn.
Hello, welcome back. Our guests tonight are the filmmakers behind The Battery, a zombie flick I've recommended on this program numerous times, but I'll repeat it again if you missed it. Guys, go check out The Battery. Our new project, Hex Montana, will survive, is currently being crowdfunded. Go to thebatterymovie.com for links to that, info on the first film, and more. Jeremy and Christian, thank you for doing this.
Hello, thank you. Thank you for having us.
How's everything going? Is it going good?
What? Is what going good?
Life? Guys, let me ask you a question. At the end of this interview, if I asked for your address because I wanted to send you a pair of our signature underwear, would you think that was weird? I just said, hey, guys, thanks for being a guest. You know, we like to send all of our guests a signature pair of our underwear.
Well, Jeremy doesn't wear underwear, right?
Hold on. So. Well, there's a lot to unpack here. Now, is this a signed pair of your underwear, or is this a brand?
No. We make underwear. It's new underwear. It's not like an old, used pair of Napier's briefs.
Okay, so really the question is, why haven't you already sent us this underwear so we could be wearing it right now?
And also, do you physically make the underwear? I mean, like, do you have, a sweatshop,
yeah. a little place where you're just sewing underwear. Or do you have it made for you?
And feel like we should be selling shit. I mean, we've done Napier. What episode is this? 250 something, 30 something. We need to be selling shit. I saw in your guys' Kickstarter, you said a lot of things about how you don't want to be a t-shirt shop, but I think that you should be, because that's where the money is, right? The money isn't making the movies. It's selling the little dolls and stuff.
We made The Battery 5 years ago. You think we haven't looked into like selling t-shirts? There's no way to make money selling t-shirts either.
That's another thing that I wanted to talk to you about. You made the movie so long ago and like it seems like you're on this media blitz for years and years and years and years I Googled you guys to try to find information, you know, to discuss and things. I tried to do some homework, and over the course of years you've been talking about this movie. Are you glad that you have another movie to talk about?
I mean, we're glad that The Battery's media blitz is almost over, but
you're tired of talking about it.
Yeah, it's daunting to just like say, oh well, here we go all over again, because we want to just make movies, not constantly promote them.
Yeah, it seems like you're creative types. You want to make movies, but then like you make the movie, and then what?
Well, to me, all parts of making movies are fun. I actually like the promoting the movies afterwards, because you get to talk to cool people. You get to go places if you have the money or if they fly you there. I got to see the world with the Battery, and that was amazing. So it's really cool to have another movie finally ready to be seen. Unfortunately, we're just broke and trying to figure out a way to make more movies so we can do this stuff more often. And that's the position we're kind of in right now.
Well, The Battery, it was impressive, and it was impressive as a movie, not as a $6,000 movie, but as a movie. I enjoyed it. And like it was cleverly done to how you avoided the low budget in ways that I saw it and I was like, oh, I see kind of what they did there. And I thought that it was really well done as an actual movie, but the choices that you guys made, and I'm just blowing smoke up their ass.
It's all right. Keep doing it. I'm almost full. full of smoke. Thank you very much. That's really kind. Now, I mean, that's what we'd hoped was that it would be able to stand on its own as a movie. But, you know, the hard thing is if you make a movie for $6,000, it's really silly not to mention that, because you're going to end up getting more press and more word of mouth just based on that budget number alone. But, you know, for the people who say that it stands on its own just as a film, that's what we hope to hear, of course, the whole time. But and I'm so glad you noticed that.
You've been pushing it it came out, what, 2012, 2013?
Something like that.
I didn't find out about it until maybe a year ago. And you know, I mean, I'm not like a film nerd or anything. I'm just a dude in St. Louis, and I heard about it. So I guess you have to consider it a success if people see it. And I've seen with you guys, have you not made your money back for the movie yet?
No, we definitely made our money back. The thing about The Battery was, you know, if I had been a more well-rounded individual when I was younger and I could have put that whole movie on a credit card, I would be fine right now. But that $6,000 was doled out between like 10 friends at bars and, you know, so there's 10 investors, and then you've got, you know, sales agents, and you've got lawyers, and you've got, you know, iTunes is cut, and all these, every little, you know, avenue that the movie gets sold on gets a cut. And by the time it trickles all back into your pocket, you know, every quarter or so, you're just, well, you're like, well, I can pay my, you know, my insurance and my phone bill this month from the movie, but you never get enough at one time to kind of take a little time off from your day job and focus on just making movies. It's just a slow trickle.
Yeah. And it was also that, you know, that whole promotional period, we had no idea what the returns would be. And so, you know, we were traveling and just going to all these festivals, everything. And I'm pretty sure we spent at least 4 to 5 times the budget of the movie on travel just to promote the movie. And in the end, that's what the movie out there. So we had to do it. But, I think the entire first year of The Battery's release, it all went to paying back promotion.
Did the friends charge you interest?
No, they didn't. But yeah, to your previous point, it absolutely does feel like a success. I mean, I was just saying, not a day goes by where I don't hear somebody on Twitter or get an email from somebody who just saw the movie. And it's, you know, we're talking about a movie we shot, you know, 5 years ago this year. And the fact that people are still finding this tiny little artsy, weird zombie movie is consistently baffling to me. And so being able to go around the world with it, it was expensive, but I think that is what has given it life. You know, I always said, you know, we won quite a bit of awards that we probably had no business winning at some of these festivals internationally. And that's, I think a lot of that is, it's very political. We go there, we stay at the festivals, we watch movies, we have drinks with people, we glad hand, we do a song and dance. And, you know, one thing I always said about Kevin Smith, whether you like him or not, he's an accessible filmmaker. And that's what we tried to be from the get-go was, you know, if we make a $6,000 zombie movie and we talk to people and we give them time, then we go and make a silly comedy, even though it's not a horror movie, maybe they'll follow us whatever whim we decide to take because they like us. And hopefully right. That's, you know,
when you say something like that, you won awards that you had no business winning, is that insecurities or do you really think that you should not have won those awards? Like what?
Oh, we shouldn't have won those awards.
Well, what awards were they?
We shouldn't have won some of them. No, it's just like certain, like we, you know, we played Imagine Film Festival in Amsterdam. That's a genre festival that's really big and it's been going on for, you know, 25 years or so. And since its inception, they do an audience award that they count up the votes every single day and they add them up and there's a running tally. And, you know, previous winners include Silence of the Lambs, Donnie Darko, you know, From Dusk Till Dawn, The Raid, you know, all these incredible movies. And then we're sitting there while they're counting up the votes the last night of the festival. And we're literally waiting for them to tally up the votes for Wong Kar-wai's movie, which was the last movie that played at the festival, the closing night film. to find out that we won. So it's like Danny Boyle had a movie in that festival, Wong Kar-wai, and like we won that festival. Come on.
So you just changed the movie poster to say, The Battery, we won the same award Silence of the Lambs won.
Yeah, we are better than Wong Kar-wai.
I will say that, you know, Mike turned me on to The Battery last year. And, you know, when he comes to me and he's like, hey, it's, you know, kind of an indie film about zombies. And he's like, but it's got a fresh take on it. You know, I respect Mike's opinion, but at the same time, in the back of my head, I'm thinking, okay, indie movie, zombies, this is going to be shit.
It's going to be dog shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Anytime you hear indie anything, it's like, okay, all right, well, it's, you know, take yourself way too seriously.
Maybe that's part of why they do well and they get good reviews for it, is because people go into it with a really low expectation and then they're pleasantly surprised. You sneak in under the radar.
Well, the fact that people go into it at all is crazy, because you're saying indie and it's also zombie. I mean, as soon as you tell someone, even I, and I'm incredibly proud of this movie, I always say, oh yeah, I made this like artsy little kind of horror movie. I try so hard not to say the Z word, because people just shut down. You can see their faces shut down when say zombie.
I saw one criticism on IMDb say that you're a hipster zombie movie.
Oh yeah.
Somebody else also said that you're a ripoff of Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Is that just because the one guy has a beard?
I think that was the only thing that the two had in common, is one of the guys had
a
beard.
That's the same reason they say hipster too.
It's exactly.
It's all a catch up. But do you know what the movie's called in Germany?
No.
No.
Ben and Mickey versus the Dead.
Oh, well then.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That wasn't us.
Your choice?
Oh no, we just suddenly saw that we had a Blu-ray for sale that was called Ben and Mickey vs. the Dead.
It just popped up on Google. Like, that's how weirdly out of our control distribution is. It was just like, we Google our movie and we go, oh, I guess we were released in Japan, and there's like some Japanese cover, and then, oh, I guess we're called Ben and Mickey vs. the Dead now.
Yeah, I definitely bought that German Ben and Mickey vs. the Dead Steelbook Blu-ray though. It's pretty cool.
They don't even send you a copy?
No. Oh, no way.
Oh, man.
I will say that, it's like the nicest of all of our releases, even though the title's wrong, but.
When did they release that?
Oh, I don't know. A few years ago now. Yeah. I mean, it was right after it was released physical here. So 2013, probably.
Yeah, because they usually try to change the title. The distributors will change the title to kind of match something else that's like really popular.
It's 100% Tucker and Dale.
Yeah, okay.
They wanted to do that. Just like we have in the UK, our cover is like a straight up ripoff of a Walking Dead advertisement poster.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you just,
there's like blood all over my face and I have a shotgun over my shoulder.
You have a crossbow and
it's literally a giant shotgun. I'm like, there's no shotgun in the movie anywhere. And I've got this like shotgun like draped over my shoulder.
I do want to talk about Tex Montana, the new one that you guys are currently crowdfunding, but I also wanted to ask you guys about the Evil Plastic Bag movie.
Oh, God.
Why can I not find the Evil Plastic Bag movie? How can I not watch this on YouTube or something? When are we going to get a proper release for your Evil Plastic Bag movie?
The Evil Plastic Bag movie is locked up in the Disney vault.
Yeah.
it only comes out every, like, 15 years, and but we actually lost the passcode to the Disney vault.
Yeah,
so it doesn't actually exist anywhere.
Anymore? No. Oh, it exists. It exists in our house right now, but no one can ever see it.
There are VHS tapes out there, I'm sure.
I believe that the tag Napier. I looked this movie. They before they made The Battery in their youth, they made a movie about plastic bags that kill people. The tagline was paper or plastic or death.
Hey, you know what? I loved that tagline, and I actually thought that movie was so clever. If we had pulled it off right,
it sounds like a classic.
For what it was, I'm very proud of it. But it's so earnest that it's almost hard. It's just too hard to watch in its earnestness, I think, a little bit. But the second movie we made, The Robert Cake, I still want people to see that one.
What's this one?
The Robert Cake.
What does The Robert Cake do?
Oh, The Robert Cake is a horror comedy, like a body horror comedy, that we made shortly after The Bags, that Christian wrote actually when he was 15 years old.
Yeah.
And it's about a guy whose friend dies suddenly, and then he finds out he has a will, and in the will it asks that his friend eat his remains. And so the only way he can think to do it is to bake the ashes into a cake.
Oh, wow.
So he bakes his friend's ashes into a cake, eats the cake, and then slowly starts to believe he's possessed by his dead friend. And it's absurd. It's totally absurd, but I still think it's funny.
I would watch that movie. That seems like a Thanksgiving Ginger Dead Man type Netflix 3 a.m. Yeah, you can't
exactly
sleep,
like I grew up on Hennenlotter's movies. So
you'll watch a guy get baked into a cake. Nate.
Exactly. But both those movies. I mean, they're like 15 years old now, so they're kind of they're before you like you couldn't even edit on computers barely. So you know they're kind of hidden away.
You know,
so,
I think we should do it. Let's put the Robert Cake on the Tex Montana DVD if we succeed in this fundraiser.
What you should do is you should make that a perk on the Kickstarter.
You know, it's funny. I'm like literally eyeballing Christian right now because suddenly it hit me.
You give us $25, we'll send you the Robert Cake. Yeah.
That's, you know, that's not a bad idea. We're going to be talking about that off air afterwards.
Okay.
So Tex Montana Will Survive is what you're – it's done. You're just releasing it on crowdfunding eventually. It's an interesting idea. If you make your goal on Kickstarter, you're just putting it out so that it could exist any way people can get it.
Yeah, we're basically – if we hit the goal, we're going to release it Creative Commons, which is basically public domain for anybody to pirate it, share it, watch it on YouTube. We're going to upload it to YouTube, Vimeo, all of that stuff. We're going to release DVD ISOs that you can download and burn to DVDs with artwork that you can print. We're going to give the movie to the internet forever. We had a lot of piracy on the battery, and this is a way to not vilify those people, but to just encourage it because they are sharing it. And as long as we, you know, make a little bit of money up front to do the release,
then we won't feel so shitty about it.
Yeah, yeah. We could take that money and go and make another movie.
Right.
So that's basically the plan. And we can also kill that like 3-year promotional period. So we have time to make another movie.
Just say this is a thing that now exists. It's yours.
Yep.
If you don't hit your goal, then you're going the other route.
Yeah.
No, if we don't hit our goal, there's going to be a short film released called Christian and Jeremy Burn the Hard Drive that Tex Montana is on. It's just going to be this ceremonial, we're just going to destroy it and say, are you happy, internet? Are you happy?
You can't see it. To hell with you all.
You know what? Throw the bags.
It's going in the Disney vault.
There too.
Yeah, it's going back.
It's going in the Disney vault. It's going to come out in a squishy plastic clamshell edition in like 30 years.
But no, seriously, guys, what's the backup plan?
You know what I always heard? If you have a backup plan, you'll just fall back on it. We have no backup plan. We really don't.
It's going to happen.
We hope so. You know, we're coming up a little shallow by certain Swedish Kickstarter algorithms right now. So we're
you have the added benefit of the WFOD bump. I've been touting this bump for – people, they laugh it off, Napier, but it's a real thing. The bump.
It's the wheelbarrow full of dicks bump.
We need it because we really have no plan B. The only thing I know is that we did an experimental thing with the battery where we tried to do like the Louis C.K. model, the $5 DRM-free release. Mm-hmm. That failed miserably. In 2.5 years, we've sold like maybe 100 $5 copies.
Well, $5 copy is a Kickstarter perk.
Yeah, basically. So we don't really have that to fall back on. So it's either something like this or the traditional kind of slow route, which we don't want to do because there's still countries where you can't get the battery. And we have no control over that anymore.
Yeah, that was one of the main reasons. Another main reason we wanted to do this is that we got thousands of messages and emails from people in all over the world saying, hey, when can we watch the battery? You know, because the movie played in, you know, 50 different countries. And so when those festivals run, they run reviews of the movie and then people read them and go, oh, this sounds cool. Where can I see this? And then they can't see it. And we can't tell them when it's going to be available in Switzerland or Japan because we have no idea. What happens is they'll end up torrenting it because the rest of the world has it and they don't yet.
What about Netflix? Is Netflix not an option? There's some really shitty movies on Netflix.
There's no real end to Netflix. I mean, Netflix doesn't have an open submission policy.
You can't just email Greg at Netflix.com and see what Greg thinks?
We haven't tried that email yet.
I don't know. Is that – we tried a lot of names at Netflix.com. Did we try Greg?
I don't know.
We were just randomly trying names. No, actually, you know what's funny about Netflix? The fact that we weren't on the batteries on Netflix is crazy to me because there is a lot of crap on Netflix. And I do believe that we were told at some point Netflix turned down our movie because they said it was too indie, the battery. Wow. And I was like, well, then just put it in the indie section where all those other, like, navel-gazing, mumblecore, like, nothing's happening.
I watched a movie on Netflix where, like, they built a chicken restaurant on an Indian burial ground and, like, the chickens all came to life and, like, raped people.
Night of the Chicken, the chickening.
You're familiar with this fine piece of...
Trauma. It's trauma, man.
Oh.
It's just... Yeah.
Come on now.
I mean, we ended up getting on Hulu and Amazon Prime, but Netflix was the one that passed. And they passed for a ridiculously small amount of money. Like, you could buy out the licensing for like a million movies for the cost of that Adam Sandler fucking movie they did.
Right. Yeah. They couldn't give us an incredibly small amount of money for the battery because they needed to put it into Adam Sandler's corn dog budget or whatever he has in his six movie deal.
All right. So guys, give me the pitch for Tex Montana Will Survive. It's a survival guy, like a Bear Grylls kind of fella.
You're doing a good job. Keep going.
No. You do it. You do it better than I do.
Yeah. So basically it's a parody, kind of a satire of these, these survival TV shows that are really popular right now. Man vs. Wild and Survivor Man, Naked and Afraid, all those survival shows. So basically it's about a guy who's very famous, one of those TV hosts, and he gets caught coming out of a restaurant in the city when he was supposed to be, you know, out in the woods somewhere surviving, and the video goes viral and his reputation comes under attack. And so to prove that he is all the survivor he always said he was, he goes out into the wild for 30 days in an attempt to film himself without a camera crew to prove that he is a survivor. And then, of course, once he's out there by himself, he realizes he's ill-prepared and, you know, slowly, you know, starts to collapse under the weight of realizing that he is a fake and a fraud and always has been. And it's just a really absurd comedy. My pitch is always it's the guy from Eastbound and Down, if he were a survival host. It's like a Will Ferrell type asshole.
And you go to thebatterymovie.com. There's a link to that Kickstarter. There's a link to the battery, which, again, guys, go buy the battery for $5. How often do I tell people to go do things, Napier?
Be honest. Not often.
I mean, it's sometimes. There's sometimes I say that they should go do a thing.
Bi-weekly.
And this is one of those things. They should go see or watch that movie. It won the same award that The Silence of the Lambs won.
And that was
that
a great
true.
Movie.
Deservedly. And we deservedly beat Wong Kar Wai, too.
Jeremy, Christian, I appreciate you guys doing this. We'll shout your movie from the rooftops. We're rooting for you over here. And the bump, it's coming. It's scattered throughout the next week. You just wait and see.
We really, really appreciate it. And you better not tease us with underwear and not send us underwear.
We're looking into it. We got to get some tchotchkes. Napier suggested buttons.
Buttons?
Nobody uses buttons.
Only if there are three tiny buttons on the front of my underwear.
Yeah.
No, I saw the creepy kids at Hot Topic buy them.
They buy the buttons?
At least one. It has Gurr on it.
We just need something cheap that we can sell to people.
Like buttons?
It's time we start making some cash.
You should just start selling your show to people.
Oh, they would never buy that.
You know what you should do? Really works.
Give it away.
Just kickstart it and tell everyone you're going to give it away afterwards and see what happens.
Yeah. You never know.
If you think there's no money in filmmaking, there's less than that in podcasting.
Wow, yeah, we know. I really don't understand why you're not just selling a wheelbarrow full of dicks. Like, that seems like a weird art installation that someone would pay a lot of money for.
Just get, like, some little statues or something. Like a,
Yeah, I totally meant statues. I didn't mean human dicks and wheelbarrows.
Yeah, like an art piece. They have a limited run of wheelbarrow statues.
What do you think? You just gotta have one. It's like that shark in the tank of formaldehyde that sold for $12 million. That's a thing that happened.
Oof. And look soon on Vimeo for the plastic bag movie and the bake the guy into the cake movie. I'm excited about all of it.
Well, thank you so much.
Guys, really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
We'll catch you on down the trail there.
Much appreciated. Good night, guys. Good
night. Drunk!
Somebody.
I'm going
to ring the doorbell.
I love it.
Are you going to kick him a couple bucks or?
What?
Well,
he already bought it.
You're going to kick those guys a couple bucks or?
I just gave them the promotional tool that will skyrocket their
project.
So
you're not going to get on Kickstarter and give them a couple bucks?
Absolutely, or? Drunk. Right. Absolutely. Now that you've put me on the spot, I for sure will be contributing to their Kickstarter.
I love how you said that entire sentence with your eyes closed and your nose up. As if you were smelling a fart.
Matt Drunk is here.
Hey, Drunk.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
How's everything with you, buddy?
It's good.
Did you watch the OJ show?
I did.
You did? What
did
you think of the OJ show?
I liked it.
We lived the OJ thing. Isn't it weird to see a TV show about the OJ thing? What I think is funny about the OJ thing, in case you're not in the know, people, the FX put out a show about OJ, the OJ trial, with Cuba Gooding Jr. and John Travolta and other people.
Vance McDonald.
And it's funny that now that this OJ show is out.
David Schwimmer
is in it.
Yeah.
All of the people that were in the OJ trial are like crawling out of the woodworks and going on The View and
stuff.
Well,
the ones that are alive at least.
Yeah, and it's funny to see all these people back out there. Did you know Cato Kaelin like has a radio show?
No.
I tried to get Cato Kaelin to do our show and he politely
declined. Mike, did you watch it?
The OJ show? I did.
What did you think of it?
I kind of liked it. It was kind of fun. I'm going to keep watching it.
I'll be honest. Like, I heard that they're doing another OJ thing, and I was like, dude, they're fucking beating OJ Simpson into the ground.
There was one part that I got really mad at, and it was when they shoehorned in the Kardashians.
The Kardashian girls. I thought that was pretty
like they were
heavy-handed.
They were
as well
fucking around at the funeral and
right,
and they were like, Chloe, sit down over there. I was like, oh, you just had to do that, didn't
they? Had
you,
to
sons of
but
bitches.
I will say I freaking loved the first episode, man. It was so good. It was so well acted, and it was so compelling. And I felt like even though we know all of these details, like I don't know. It was a really fun watch. I was pretty riveted the whole way through.
I feel like this true crime thing is taking over the world, and that's all we're talking about now is true crime as entertainment. That's all that we have now is we're entertained by real people who were murdered. Matt, do we need to get some murderer guy and make a podcast about him?
Well, I mean, that's the only way to solve crimes now. So
is through podcasts and
is through a podcast
documentary
or
films.
Yeah, and it has to be on Netflix. It can't be on anything else because
you guys recently did a segment on your show where you were trying to find inmates for one of your co-hosts to make pen pals with to date when she gets out of jail.
Yep.
But maybe we need to find some murderers on this website to try to make a show about.
There's plenty of them. I mean, I told Joe, we're trying to hook up with one of these inmates, that you know he actually might become famous if we solve their crime or whatever.
Well, you search for keywords in their description, like look for the word innocent.
Oh, you can Google these people and their crimes come up.
And if they claim that they're innocent, then we get their story. I mean, yeah. If they say they did it, there's no story there.
That's true.
It's like, yeah, I killed this guy. And, you know, he made me mad, and so I killed him. I mean, there's no story there. But if she says, I was framed by the police, and they planted evidence, then we got a whole goddamn thing.
Yeah.
Can
the dating only way to solve crimes now. It's just don't call a lawyer. Just call Netflix.
Drunk, will you participate in our true crime podcast?
As long as it's over by May.
Why, what happens in May, Drunk?
Oh, the new hours come in.
Oh, you're going to go on hiatus again?
Yeah.
How long is your hiatus?
May through September.
Guys, if you're a fan of Drunk, you don't have much time left to enjoy him before he goes on his extended hiatus. Are we going to do the whole The End of Drunk thing again? Or are we just assuming you're coming back?
We can play it however you want to, Mike.
Can we do it as... Can we do it as Drunk is going into hibernation?
But honestly, since we did like the Drunk highlights last time you went away, there hasn't been any new Drunk highlights. So, yeah, I mean, we can't really do a whole drawn out thing again. People just won't care.
Well, I think the last time we did like a mammoth, like seven what's in Drunk's mouth in one night kind of deal.
We're going to put stuff in your mouth in May.
We do 14. Can we double it this time?
I'm running out of things to put. I don't even remember the things that we've put in his mouth, really. We need to have, like, a running tally because, I mean, like, there might be things that I've put in his mouth more than once.
I feel like that's something we need to get Travis on. He needs to go back through the episodes, find out.
Travis won't listen to this episode.
Here's what you should do. Spice it up by just make sure that it's wrapped. And he has to unwrap it in his mouth and then guess what it is.
Oh, that's not bad. Guys, I think What's in Drunk's Mouth is coming back in the next couple weeks, because now I'm getting a Jones in for it, because we're talking about it.
Can we do a lit cigarette?
And speaking of which, not speaking of which at all, there was a Hollywood Fantasy League update. Matt, you were recently removed from the Hollywood Fantasy League for coming in dead last. Are you bitter about that still?
I'm not bitter about it, because I really love the game. And I recognize that, you know, it needs to be changed up a little bit. And I'm really enjoying every single update. It's just ever changing. Like, just when you think somebody is going to do better than the other person, it's like the scores come out, and it's so much fun to watch.
Well, it's funny because we have Deadpool coming out this weekend.
Yeah.
And I saw actual news articles written
about
how Deadpool has like an 89%, 93% positive score on Rotten Tomatoes. And I was like, holy shit, that's amazing. Then I looked at Metacritic, and Metacritic has it at a 62.
Yeah.
How can there be such a huge discrepancy between Rotten Tomatoes and Metacritic?
Maybe for the next one, you might want to jump the ship over to Rotten Tomatoes.
I feel like for a stat perspective and comparing it to past, I want to keep it the same. I don't want to dick around. Like in the NHL skills competition this year, they had a thing where they did the fastest skater, and they changed the way they did the fastest skater, and then whoever had the fastest time then did it the old way to try to beat the record of the way they used to do it.
Yep.
And I don't like that. I want to be able to compare it to how it's always been and how it will forever be.
I miss the goalie skate-off. Do you remember the goalie skate-off? Oh, that was so much fun to watch those bastards get out there and try to run.
But we do have a Hollywood Fantasy League update. Kung Fu Panda 3 was the Furnacast's second round pick. It had a $69 million run and had a 64% Metacritic, so it scored 44 total points.
Ow.
So that's after week 2. They're done.
That's after the second weekend of its release. So we will have results for Hail Caesar next week. That was our fourth round pick.
It does not look good.
It looks horrible.
Right now it has 8 points, which is more than the Furnacast's first round pick, the fifth wave. And that's just after a weekend. So I think it will do good for a fourth round pick.
Wait, did Drunk say that it looked horrible? Did it look horrible in the numbers? Or is he saying that the movie itself
looks horrible?
It looks hacky.
Yeah.
It's a Coen Brothers movie. I am rarely let down by the Coen Brothers.
I know, I was going to say, it looks like a Coen Brothers movie.
Yeah.
I don't know that it looks hacky.
I'm going to go see it sometime this week. I'm going to go see Deadpool Friday. I actually took the day off work to go see Deadpool.
That is awesome.
So I'm pretty excited about that.
Are you taking the lady? It's a Valentine's movie.
Right, yeah. I am absolutely doing that.
You're not.
I am. I don't go see movies by myself. I don't watch movies by myself. If it's a movie that Laura doesn't want to watch, I'm probably not going to see that movie.
Oh, man, I love going to the movies by myself.
You've told me that before, and I don't think I could do it. I don't know. I would just feel really uneasy sitting there by myself.
Why?
I don't know. Is that weird? I don't talk to people during the movie, and so it doesn't really make a difference if somebody's there or not. But I feel like going and seeing a movie is a social thing. I don't think I could do it just by myself. You know, like a month or two ago was the first time I ever...
Are you like afraid?
No.
Do you think people are going to make fun of you and point, look at the guy sitting by himself watching the movie?
Like a month or two ago was the first time I ever went in a fast food restaurant and sat down at a table and ate food by myself.
Okay, that's weird.
I've never done that. I would either eat in my car or bring somebody with me, but I would never just go into a restaurant.
Yeah, if you go into the restaurant and you sit down and eat at a fast food place like by yourself, you're a monster.
Where would you go that, like... You would eat in your car.
Anywhere. I just go through the drive-thru, and then I eat in my car like
a normal
car. And you've never been to a sit-down restaurant by yourself?
No, I've never been to, like, a Applebee's or something like that.
Like a Chimmy's?
Never. Not one time. It would be even weirder.
You know you could go up to, like, to the bar and, like, sit at the bar.
It would be even weirder if I went to... like a place that had a waiter or a waitress, and I had to interact with a waiter or waitress without somebody else to bounce.
Why?
With. That would be really uncomfortable.
Well, it's not like it was 10 years ago.
Last year, I went to the theater that had a bar inside of it, and I sat down at the bar, and I had like three drinks before I went to the movie by myself, all of it, the entire trip.
Do you think
so would you go to the bar by yourself?
Drunk. You were here for most of the interview, right?
I think so.
Do you think Christian and Jeremy liked me okay?
Who cares?
I do. You think they thought I was a fun guy?
I guess it just depends on how much money that you're going to give them on Kickstarter.
You think they're whores?
Because sound like pretty big shills to me. You got to push your movie. It is what it is. I mean...
It's all about making connections.
Like they said, you got to glad hand and like everybody.
They traveled around and they shook hands and they made friends.
They pretended to like you very well, yes.
But you don't think it was like a genuine connection?
I can't tell. They're very good at what they do.
Mike, why do you need to be loved by your heroes? You watch a movie, now you're a fan, and now you have expectations.
Our episode last week about podcast people pretending to like each other so that you'll retweet their podcast. I got impatient by Friday or Saturday and started at mentioning the people that we talked about to try to get them to listen to the show to interact with me because I'm a lonely guy.
I will say I'm in the same boat as Mike. Like we've interviewed a lot of bands that I've loved and respected for a long time, and you know, man. When you don't get any recognition from them that they were on your show afterwards.
Oh, like you're talking about that sweet, sweet retweet you get from the guest to say, hey, I was on this show?
Yeah, like at an MMA event, I met a guy from a band that I really like, and he actually gave me his cell phone number, and we talked for a really long time, and we actually did a video interview at the event. And then I texted him later, and I was like, hey, man, can we get you on the show? Like, and he, I mean, just wanted nothing to do with me. And I remember just thinking, oh, we had this connection. But that's just me being a fucking rube, so.
Matt, you like me, right?
I love you, Mike.
Why can't somebody just interact with you in a friendly way and not also want to be your friend?
Well, no, the thing is I want to be this person's friend. That's what I want. I want to be their friend. I want to say that I'm friends with so-and-so from this band.
Why can't you just do an interview with them and have a good time, do a good thing? And I'm talking to Mike.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Mike wants to be everybody's friend, and he wants to...
I don't want to be everybody's friends. Actually, I don't want to be anybody's friends. I just want them to like me.
Right.
Why can't they just like what they did with you this one time?
Well, because they forget about it, Napier. Like, once it's
over...
I want
them to remember.
Are you trying to have them back on the show?
I mean, maybe.
No, what
No, maybe. It's a yes or no question. Are you trying to have them back on the show?
Sure. Like if there's if there's another interesting thing to talk about with them, then sure.
Okay.
Well, if they had a good time, they don't have to like you personally. They could just like what they did.
The interview sounded very cordial, Mike, and I think if you asked them to come back, they would.
But you don't think they liked me?
It's not a question on whether or not they liked you, Ben.
But wouldn't
they
don't
know you
if they were going around saying, "Oh man."
They probably liked the name of your silly little show, The Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks.
Guys, did you see the Super Bowl commercial for Death Wish Coffee?
Yes, I love Death Wish Coffee.
Did you know that that is a company that has six people in it?
I didn't know it was that
small.
There's
six people that run Death Wish Coffee, and they won some contest to get a Super Bowl commercial.
And they make delicious coffee.
Death Wish Coffee is essentially like they're daring you to drink it. That's their whole marketing thing.
It is incredibly caffeinated.
Like, this shit is really strong, and it'll fuck you up if you drink it. I'm daring you to drink it, fuckface.
Have you ever had it?
And that's like the Hardee's.
Where do they sell it at?
On the internet, yeah. I think. That's Hardee's marketing for just about everything is like, we put four burgers on three slices of Velveeta cheese and smothered it in jalapeno peppers and wiped a hippo's ass with it. And
so what's the problem?
You're a pussy if you don't eat this burger. Because it's for real men. And then, like, Paris Hilton shoots off a cannon. Well, I don't know. I don't understand.
What are you getting at?
Why the marketing of I dare you to eat this bullshit works.
I missed the commercial. But I mean,
it's a coffee called Death Wish Coffee.
I caught all that.
The commercial is meaningless.
Okay, so
the commercial is about
who cares? Who cares? Why does it bother you?
Have you noticed that drunks answer to everything I say anything about for like the last 3 months has been who cares? We're doing a podcast, drunk. We're bringing up interesting topics and discussing them.
You get all.
I care. That's why I'm fucking talking about it, drunk.
You get all riled up about this. Oh, it's in your face. But it's not that in your face. You drink it, you don't
Let's
drink.
Do drunk's version of the podcast, Napier. Are you ready? Matt. Hey, Matt. Yeah. Did you see that commercial for Death Wish Coffee?
Who cares, man?
Have you seen Death Wish Coffee?
Who cares?
I mean, it's probably pretty good, right? They had a commercial.
Who cares, man?
If it was called Mildly Friendly Caffeinated Beverage, you probably wouldn't want to buy it. They call it Death Wish. They give it a name.
If I see something with a skull and crossbones on it and they say, here, drink this, I'll say no.
Okay, then it's not for you. Maybe you're not their target audience.
I think I need to get a bag of this just to try it.
It is incredibly
good. Just because Mike's all riled up about
it.
I can buy a bag off you.
Or is it just the caffeine?
Maybe can I get like a K-cup off you or something? Mm-hmm. Nice.
Hey, it is incredibly caffeinated. The
hey,
taste
Matt,
is good.
Matt Drunk, have you seen what's going on with Johnny Manziel?
Who cares, man? Who cares?
Yeah, nobody gives a shit. Fuck that guy.
Hey, Matt Drunk, did you see Beyonce's halftime performance? It's getting a lot of flack on the internet. Apparently it's controversial.
It was controversial?
Who cares, man? Who cares?
What makes it controversial?
I don't know, man. Who cares?
Yeah, fucking yeah.
Who cares, man?
Oh, it's bullshit.
I feel like I don't know who cares everything.
See, drunk is chill. Drunk is the anti-Mike.
Usually I go off on you when you have a horrible idea like the half and half shifts or stupid restaurants that you want to come up with or the dumb ideas like the bathroom thing.
Who cares?
No,
who even
you.
Cares at
I
all?
I got you.
Guys.
Ding.
The Lotus Cast is live on Thursdays.
We are.
Jeremy and Christian's movie, The Battery, can be found at thebatterymovie.com. You can crowdfund their new program, which I will also do. I'm going to put my money where my mouth is, Napier.
Yeah.
Drunk called me out. I'm throwing some cash behind Tex Montana Will Survive. I'm going to do it.
I'll put cash in if there's a guarantee I'll actually get to see the movie.
Well,
you don't get charged unless unless it gets crowdfunded because it's Kickstarter. So if you pledge $10, unless they are successful at that moment, once it's successful in 17 days, then it deducts the money out of your account.
Well, my problem is my bank no longer lets you donate to Kickstarter.
Oh, really?
So I have to go out of my way and put money into a PayPal account. So I have to go, like, I have to do extra steps.
Well, your PayPal account isn't linked to your bank account to where it just deducts it out of it?
Well, no, I have to do one thing and then another thing. I can't just go to the website and put my credit card in. I have to go to PayPal and put my credit card in. Then I have to go to the website, put my PayPal in there, and then pay for it. That's an extra step. I don't like extra steps. I like easy.
Napier, who cares?
Who cares?
You know?
No, fuck that. It's my money. I care.
Who even cares? We'll do this again next week. It'll be a whole thing.
If we
be
care
sure
enough.
To go to WFODix.com and vote whether you want to hear the rest of the finger story or not.
God, I hope everybody votes no.
Because I will dedicate the time to it if our listeners want to hear it.
If they demand.
Mike, were you told what the story was?
The shit should say yes and who cares.
That is pretty much what it says.
To no. Yeah.
Were you told the story?
No, no. I have not been told what the end of the story is. She teased it, and she's saving it for us. But the question is, who cares? Does anyone care?
I want to know if it's positive. If it's a positive, feel-good story, then sure. If it's one of those, it gets way worse from here stories, no, I'm okay.
And Liquid Lozenge, thank you for the whatever the hell that was.
Napier, I guarantee you that whatever that's, like, whatever the conclusion to the story is just going to leave you with more questions than where you're at. There's no resolution.
It'll just make us crazy.
Yeah, it's designed to make you ask more questions about her.
The only way that could happen is if somebody was sending her more fingers.
And do me a favor, if you send tweets to @TheBatteryMovie to tell them you enjoyed them on the show, which I encourage you do, use the hashtag #FreeTheBag.
And also donate to their Kickstarter.
And Robert Cake. Well, that's my mama.
Thank you for listening. You can hear us live every Monday night at 9/8 Central on strangelabel.com. You can download all of our past episodes as well as other goodies at wfodix.com. Pull up our show on iTunes, Stitcher, or the TuneIn app. You can follow us on Twitter at WFODix. You can also follow Travis at ProduceTravis or Drunk at DrunkardSTL. We are on Facebook, facebook.com/WFODix. You can email us at WFODshow@gmail.com. Or you can give us a call when we're live or leave us a message that we may play later on. That phone number is 636-487-4263. Again, thank you for listening. We will see you back here next week.
Napier, do me a favor.
Yeah.
When I go back through the interview with Jeremy and Christian, and there was multiple times where I reference Napier. I say, like, Napier, what do you think about this? Napier. I say Napier, you know, when I'm talking to you. Will you just say, yeah, a couple of different ways so that I can edit in your yes
no.
into the interview so it doesn't seem like I'm talking to my imaginary friend?
No, you're talking to the audience, but you're using me as a vehicle. You're filling me in.
So I need to record a couple of different guys to fill in instead of the Napiers.
If you want, you can do Drunks, and I'll say yeah for you.
No, keep it the way it is. I'm the vehicle for information.
You're my imaginary friend in interviews. I reference you and try to bring you in, and you just stare at me.
Well, I didn't see the movie.
Didn't he ask...
I wasn't asking you quiz questions on the movie.
Didn't he ask an inappropriate question one time, and he for real hasn't asked many questions since?
Exactly.
Wait,
Matt, I appreciate you joining us tonight and being my backup. You actually saw the movie?
I know.
He did a great job. I was impressed.
You helped out. You were a good guy. Unlike Who Cares Here, who gets here 40 minutes late and then just sits there with his arms folded and waits for me to call him.
Did you ring the doorbell? I felt like I heard the doorbell.
I ain't going to just barge in the middle of the interview, Matt, when I have no clue who the fuck we're talking
to. I have an alarm system that goes off when Drunk opens the door.
Oh, okay.
So you can always hear when Drunk gets here because the alarm system dings. That's something that people actually listen for. They've referenced that they listen for when Drunk comes because you can hear my alarm system ding.
Yeah, he's like that neighbor on family sitcoms. Like, hi, neighbor! Ding!
But thank you, Matt.
No problem. It was a good time. Guys, it was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
It was a thing.
And you are so good at interviews. You don't need a backup. You got this.
I'm not. I'm awkward and weird, and I'm always afraid that nobody's going to like me.
Well, how about you just, like, keep it to a question instead of, like, just rambling?
The rambling's where you get the good stuff.
Yeah, the rambling is where the good stuff comes out.
Yeah. Can't make a good pizza without, kneading the dough. Got to push on it.
What?
Got to push on it and stretch it. Get weird with the dough. Put your fingers in it.